The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Noah Your Rights, the show that's dedicated to helping you understand your legal rights and the resources available to you only on Clay 1180 AM out of Lakewood, Washington. In July 2016, debt collectors were averaging 1 billion contacts to American consumers. 1 billion contacts. There's only approximately 320 million Americans, so that's 3 contacts for every man, woman, and child. With 245 million adults, you're looking at 4 contacts per adult. In 2014, it's reported that 77 million Americans had non-mortgage related debts in collections. 77 million Americans, non-mortgage related debts in collections. That's not necessarily a lawsuit, but a mark on their credit report. So in collections, in collection state status. That's nearly 1/3 of all Americans in 2014 had at least one account in collections. If they're the ones getting the contacts, then that 77 million Americans, then that's about 12 contacts per each adult American in debt, 12 contacts per year. But we know that there are even more consumers, more Americans out there that are having credit reporting issues, such as incorrect information on their report, or they have identity theft related issues. So that number, 77 million Americans that have collection-related disputes on their credit report, really is even greater when you talk about in terms of the number of people that are affected by credit-related issues on their credit report. It also makes you wonder how the supposed average credit score is so high, right? I mean, my thought for a number of years is that it's not really a real number. It's a number that's contrived by lenders to hit riskier, borrowers with higher interest rates. Last year, for example, the average credit score was 700, meaning some 50% of people were said to have scores from 700 to a perfect 830. Now, how's that possible? I mean, I'm not really buying it. You're telling me that the average score is 700. You have 77 million people that have collections against them, and the average score is 700. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. I think that there's something going on there that we've been misled about. But, you know, perhaps there are 100 million older consumers that don't borrow, that don't have any debt, and maybe they skew the numbers. Maybe there's 50 million to 100 million people out there that have perfect scores that never use their credit, don't even know what a credit report is, and that skews it for everybody else. Well, the numbers that we get, we rely on the credit bureaus to report and the industries that benefit from those numbers. So it's hard to get legitimate, independent, factual information, I feel, without a lawsuit at least. And maybe that's where this is going to go someday. In any event, according to the Federal Trade Commission, consumer complaints related to debt collections was the number one complaint filed with the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission. Number one complaint was debt collection actions, or debt collector activities. On the other side of the equation, collections are big business. In 2016, there were approximately 6,000 registered collection agencies in the U.S., 6,000 collection agencies generating around $14 billion in revenue. So we're talking about a huge industry. Those collection agencies are often comprised of attorneys, or are owned by attorneys, or have some relationship with a collection law firm. Maybe it's next door, maybe there's a subdivision of it, but they usually have an attorney on staff or have some relationship with an attorney. And I know that from doing the many cases that I've done, also having friends that are in the collection agency realm and either own their firm or they work for a firm of collection attorneys. When a person is sued in a collection-type case, it appears that less than 10% of them are able to afford an attorney and are represented by a lawyer defending them in that case. That makes the defense of that case, I mean, nearly impossible. You're doing it pro se. You're going up against these collection agency lawyers who are doing this as for a living. They have a budget to do this. They know what they're doing. They know the court system. They know the court process. And you're one of the 90% of people that are unable to afford an attorney to defend your case. It's going to make the chances of a successful defense almost impossible. You know, in our first show, episode one of Know Your Rights, we talked about the different avenues for you to find some legal representation at lower cost. And we talked about Rocket Lawyer, for example, ARAG North America. We talked about Avvo, LegalZoom, some of those companies that act like legal insurance. They're not legal insurance. They'll probably tell you it's not legal insurance, but they're legal prepaid plans. And, you know, maybe this is one of those instances, again, getting back to episode one, is one of those cases where you really could use a plan, a prepaid legal plan, a discount legal plan, however you want to refer to it as, where you're paying $30 to $50 a month to have a lawyer available that you could talk to and write you a letter. Because usually one of the resources available to you when you sign up for the plan is that the lawyer can write a letter for you on a new matter. And maybe you'd want the lawyer writing a letter to the collection agency or writing a letter to the attorneys that file a lawsuit. Or if you have to hire someone to defend you in a lawsuit, you're going to get this lawyer at a discounted rate, some percentage off their normal rate or some set rate. And so that's going to make it a little bit more affordable for you to be able to defend these cases. So, you know, from a personal standpoint, too, a personal story that I have, I go to court as a regular part of my practice, and I know that when I appear in district court, so state-level district court, you have the, on the trial level, you have the superior court, each of the counties have a superior court, and then you have the district courts, which within the counties, which are usually for smaller matters, and they have a jurisdictional limit. That can't exceed, I think that number might be up to $100,000 now. But they can handle most matters, just not real estate, not divorce, but matters up to $100,000. Most of these collection cases are filed in the district court of your county. And when I go to the district court calendar for some cases that we have, sometimes some of the smaller amount cases we file there because it's a quicker process. We like the process in district court over superior court. The filing fee is a little bit cheaper too. Maybe the judge is a little more accessible. Maybe they have a standard calendar that you can get on. Well, that's where these collection cases are filed if they're under that jurisdictional amount. They usually are. And when I appear for a case, and I sit there and I listen to the cases before me, it's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens on the same day of collection agency cases where there's a collection agency lawyer and they bring out a file and the court will call, the judge will call the cases and we'll find out who showed up for court that day. And the collection agency will end up having each, there'll be like five lawyers there and they'll each have 10 to 15 or so cases, it seems. And sometimes the defendant shows up for those cases, but most often they don't. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after the break, but we're going to take a quick break here on Know Your Rights. So stay tuned and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM.
On this historic day, Jack in the Box introduces a fast food first, the Food Truck Series. Asian fried chicken sandwich with crunchy Asian slaw and gochujang mayo, the pork belly BLT with tangy honey aioli, and the prime rib cheesesteak smothered in provolone cheese. And to that I say, hang on, let me turn the music down. I'll take one of each and an order of fries, please.
Sounds good, Jack. Pull up to the next window.
Thank you.
Try the new Food Truck Series at Jack in the Box today. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
I'm Noah Davis, and I've been practicing law in Washington since 2001, handling hundreds and hundreds of matters. And I would love to help you with your case. If you have been injured in an auto accident or have a business litigation matter, email me at noah@noah.legal or call me at 253-215-4313. That's noah@noah.legal or 253-215-4313.
Ian Ralston was a combat medic who suffered a catastrophic war injury in Iraq. When I met Ian for the first time, I knew we had to do everything we could to get him every benefit he's earned to live as normal life as possible. And we did. He needed an accessible house. We got that grant and a van for his wheelchair to get him there. My name is Jason Stevenson, and I work for Paralyzed Veterans of America.
America's most seriously injured veterans are getting all the care and benefits they've earned, thanks to Paralyzed Veterans of America. For over 65 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has helped hundreds of thousands of veterans, and their service is free to all veterans and their families. Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping you understand your basic legal rights and resources that are available to you. We're talking collection law today, and I was talking about a personal story that right before the break that involved me going to court and seeing these cases in district court on the state level being decided really on a summary basis because people were showing up at court and they didn't have... they didn't have a lawyer, number one, and number two, they most likely had not filed a written response to the motion that was being presented that day, and sometimes that was a motion for default, the person hadn't filed an answer, or it was a motion, more likely, the calendar that I was on, it was a motion for a summary judgment, and the person might appear and say, hey, I can't pay this debt, and the judge says, did you file a written response? They say no. Say, well, I can't really hear any of the argument under the civil rules that we have that govern these types of disputes. I need a written response. You didn't file one, so I don't have any choice but to award the requested relief from the plaintiff's counsel, which is the collection agency in those cases. And, you know, it's really sad. It's a really sad day to see case after case after case where family comes in and they don't have any money and they're faced with these lawsuits and they... their only defense is, you know, I just can't pay, and they didn't file a response. They don't know. They don't understand the rules, and not that that's going to be a defense anyway. Sometimes you can develop better defenses even if you have an inability to pay. Maybe there's something that was done wrong. Maybe the collection agency did something wrong. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about some of those potential defenses here shortly. But back to that story. It just was, you know, it's an eye-opening experience to see how many people are affected by these lawsuits and how devastating it is. Most of the cases that I saw were, they involved medical debt. And the second category, I'd say, most common was credit card debt. So medical debt followed by credit card debt. Well, what are our rights then? I mean, that's what the show's about, right? So what do we do? What do we do? We're consumers. We're Americans. What rights do we have? You know, there's going to be some laws I'm going to talk about, and I'll give some citations for that, state law and federal law. But before that, let's set up the context a little bit. Let's talk about some pre-suit issues. One thing that happens to you before even the collections process starts is, and this is a real pain, when you end up start relying on credit that you have that's available to you, and you start relying on it pretty heavy, you have a number of open credit card accounts, the revolving accounts are called, and when you're not using that credit, your credit score is higher because you have this great availability of credit, and then when you start to use that credit, not only does your score begin to drop, but once the cards start hitting 50 to 75% of the available max, the credit card companies start seeing you as a risk, and they start reducing the limits. So let's say if you borrowed $6,000 on a credit card against $10,000, you've either charged things, you did a courtesy check or whatever it is, but you've taken out $6,000 on a credit card that has a limit of $10,000. You end up borrowing on some other cards too, some various amounts, and maybe you didn't have a history of borrowing, but now it's starting to show up. Well, you're at 60% of the limit for the card that you borrowed the $6,000 of the $10,000 on. And the credit card companies are constantly, the banks that issue or underwrite these cards, are constantly reviewing your credit, your account and your credit. They do soft pulls. So they're constantly pulling this information from your credit report to see if you're credit worthy. And they're running a program. They're running a computer program that ends up sending off signals to them. Lights go off, things flash, or they get a printout to the people making the decisions that identifies risky borrowers. You're a risky borrower if you start using the credit on your credit cards. I mean, it's kind of like an oxymoron in a way. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, your credit's there to borrow against, and as long as you're making timely payments, everything should be fine, right? Wrong. As soon as you start borrowing against those credit cards, and if there's a pattern and it looks like you're starting to use an increased percentage of those cards and you're getting up to the 60% of the various cards, the credit card companies are going to start reducing your limits. And they're not going to give you any warning. It's going to be written into their contract that you've probably never seen. You know, it comes in this small print. You agree to it online by ticking a box or something. You have no idea about this. Or maybe they send it to you in the mail a year later. It says if you continue to use a credit card, you agree to these things. You know, while there's all kinds of issues with those sorts of disclosures and whether or not they're valid and whether or not you had sufficient notice, putting that aside, the credit card companies will reduce, their practice has been, and they've been able to do this, reduce your credit limit because they're not required to keep you at a particular limit. It's a benefit, I guess, that you're receiving. It's not an entitlement that you have with the credit card company. There's no legal remedy for you if they reduce the limit in any case. And we'll try to bring an expert in here on a future show that can talk about some of those issues, what happens to credit card companies and banks, whether we have any whether they have any ramifications, we have any legal rights if they reduce our limits. But I'll tell you, what happens is you get your credit reduced, and it happens over and over and over again. And then next thing you know, it's across the board reduction on all your credit cards. Across the board reduction. Your limits have gone from 10,000 on your various cards to now 6,500. So that case where you borrowed 6,000 against 10,000, you're at 60% of your limit. Now you're at something like 92% of the max on that card. If you have 6,000 borrowed against a $6,500 card, well, then what happens? Then all the other credit card companies they see that you're maxing out a card, and they start wanting to reduce their risks because you're a risky borrower now potentially, and they want to make sure that their exposure is less than what other cards could be, or they want to make sure they can mitigate their own risks. So they start reducing the credit limits of their own cards. So now across the board, when you need a credit the most, everybody's reducing the availability of credit. Your score plunges and your credit dries up, and it makes the situation even worse for you. In some cases, dire. Well, you know, like I said, what can you do? Legally, maybe not a lot, but practically, you know, you want to try to keep your balances below 50% of the credit max. You also want to make sure that you pay on time. And if you end up getting a card that's reduced, the max amount is reduced on you, what you want to make sure that you're doing too is keeping note of those cards, those banks that didn't stick with you, that were the first to reduce, that were the first to shut you out of credit, that were first to treat you like a criminal in a way, or treat you like someone that didn't pay their debts, treated you unfairly. Keep a note of it, because you're not going to give them your business when you can. When you end up having the ability to not rely on credit cards and not rely on that type of debt, but you're able to invest, or you're able to take out cards, pay them on a monthly basis, you're not going to give the business to those credit cards. That's one way that you can fight back on that. But until then, make sure that you're not spending more than, if you can, I know it's easier said than done, but make sure that you're not over 50% of the credit card debt on any individual card. Once you start doing that, you're going to set off some of the risk factors, and it's going to be problematic. All right, so let's say you can't rebound right away. Credit dries up, credit score plunges. What happens then? Well, that's when collections start. You start getting a letter and phone calls. Usually it's a phone call first, followed by a letter. They have a duty to do that. They got to follow up with a written letter after they call you. Those calls are not fun, right? I mean, They really are not a lot of fun to pick up your phone, answer a call, and it's some collection agency saying, or am I speaking to Mr. Davis? And you say, yeah, this is Mr. Davis. And then they say, we're so-and-so CNC credit agency. This is an attempt to collect a debt. And you're like, great. What's this about? You know, it's not a pleasant conversation. It's embarrassing if people around you. It's embarrassing if other people get called. It's just the worst situation, and nobody wants to be in that situation. But just know that you're not alone. I mean, you're with 77 million other Americans that are in the same situation. It's not a situation anyone covets or wants to be in, but you're not alone. And I guess I want to send a message of don't despair that bad. There's ways to fight this. There's ways to combat it. There's ways to overcome it. And hopefully you're going to be able to get back on your feet and reduce the debt or settle these accounts and rebound in the future. But you're not alone. That's one message to take from this. So you don't have to talk to the person that calls you. You can hang up on them. You could say, I'm busy. You could say, don't call me, please. Or you can just not answer the phone. If you don't recognize the number, don't answer the phone. You don't have any obligation to talk to anyone, including a collection agency. You also have the right, you know, and I don't want you to argue with them on the phone. I mean, they're supposed to treat you with respect. They're not supposed to intimidate, harass, or threaten you, but I don't want you to argue with them either. I mean, you can ask them what this is about, and then you tell them, this is really important, whether you talk to them or you get a letter. Something that's really important is you writing a letter back to them, disputing the veracity of the debt, and asking for all the underlying information that they have regarding that debt. That's what you want. You want all the underlying information that they have to prove that debt. That's really important. Tell them to show their cards. I mean, that's what you're asking for. What do you guys have that proves this debt? The written letters that you write back to them are going to help. They're going to help your case because you never know how these things are going to unfold. It's possible that it unfolds in a way that you end up developing a counterclaim against either the credit bureau for incorrectly reporting something and not following up to remove it. Maybe it's going to be against the collection agency or one of its representatives that has called you, that's threatened you, that failed to identify themselves, that's harassed coworkers at your work that can't do that, that have identified themselves as a collection agency that you owe money and that you're going to go to jail or any of those sorts of harassing, threatening, untrue type statements, you might end up having a counterclaim against that particular collection agency. So what I want you to do is if you are contacted by a collection agency, I want you to start keeping a journal. And if it's multiple collection agencies and multiple debts, then you're just going to have individual pages for each of these folks. And I need you to be meticulous because if you're going to have a counterclaim, if you're going to be able to combat whatever techniques are used against you, you need to be meticulous in how you handle this. You need to lawyer up your case. I'm not asking you to invent claims. I'm just asking you to really document the contacts that you had, what was said to you at particular times about the debt, what you said back. When you wrote letters, keep copies of those letters, those sorts of things, because you never know how this is going to turn out and what's going to happen with those claims. If you do develop a claim, if you do develop something under a state law or federal law that, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about in a second, if you do develop a claim, then it's possible that you're going to be able to add that in as a counterclaim if there's a suit against you later. Sometimes those counterclaims can wipe out, sometimes they can wipe out the suit against you. I don't want to get your hopes up too high, but it's possible in a small number of cases when it's so egregious that the claims that you develop can wipe out the original debt and suit that was levied against you. So be meticulous, keep notes, keep a journal. It's going to help you out. We're going to take another break. Stick around. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM.
On this historic day, Jack in the Box introduces a fast food first, the Food Truck Series. Asian fried chicken sandwich with crunchy Asian slaw and gochujang mayo, the pork belly BLT with tangy honey aioli, and the prime rib cheesesteak smothered in provolone cheese. And to that I say, hang on, let me turn the music down. I'll take one of each and an order of fries, please.
Sounds good, Jack. Pull up to the next window.
Thank you.
Try the new Food Truck Series at Jack in the Box today. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
I'm Noah Davis, and I've been practicing law in Washington since 2001. handling hundreds and hundreds of matters. And I would love to help you with your case. If you have been injured in an auto accident or have a business litigation matter, email me at noah@noah.legal or call me at 253-215-4313. That's noah@noah.legal or 253-215-4313.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Knowing Your Rights, the show devoted to helping you understand your basic legal rights and resources available to you. You know, if you're listening out there and you have a question about a particular credit type issue, a collections type issue, then you're welcome to call in. Our number is 253-581-0324. That's 253-581-0324. However, and even though I'm a lawyer and I'm your host, Noah Davis, be careful about providing personal information. Be careful about providing information related to your case that that you really need to be consulting a lawyer privately about. I mean, we got to keep it kind of general. I don't want to have you end up saying something that would be privileged otherwise that's really confidential and you end up exposing it here because we can't form an attorney-client relationship on this type of call. So please keep it general, but you're welcome to call in. I'll try to tackle the issue. If I can't, then we'll end up bringing someone in on another show and I can ask them some questions about the collections process, some of the things that that maybe are going to be a little bit more intricate than we can tackle today. So 253-581-0324, that's Clay, 1180 a.m. Call in. We'll take your questions here in a second. So I was talking before the break about what we can do, what our rights are if we've been contacted by a collection agency, and we're going to talk now about the Fair Debt Collections Act. Before then, and I keep saying we're going to talk about it, and I keep stopping right before we get there, when I handle a case on behalf of a client in relation to a collections type case, a consumer protection collections type case, the first place that I start with is actually the Attorney General's office, the Washington State Attorney General's. That's because there's a requirement in Washington, and I believe this case across the U.S., all states probably have the same law, but there's a requirement that collection agencies register in the state of Washington in order to do collection activities here. If they're not registered here, I'm going to assert they can't call you here if you're a Washington resident. They definitely can't be writing you letters, and they're definitely not going to be authorized to sue you here. So if you are contacted by a collection agency, I would get the name, address, and the first thing I would do is check the Attorney General's website, look them up, and see if they're registered to do business here. If they're not, I would write them a letter back letting them know that you checked and you did not find that they were licensed in the state of Washington. If you are incorrect, you'd like for them to correct that information for you by providing a license number and a correct name. Sometimes they're under a different name. That is misleading to me if you ask me, but they're required to be licensed here. They better be. Otherwise, they're not allowed to go after our residents and try to enforce debts here. And if you file a complaint with the Attorney General's office, which I would encourage you to do, if there are repeat violations, the Attorney General's office will take action against the collection agency. They definitely will. I've seen them. They've gotten consent orders where the collection agencies agreed not to contact any Washington residents, to pay a fine in some cases. If they violate that, they could be subject to more severe sanctions. So Contact the AG's office. It's possible that the collection agency has already been reprimanded. It's possible that they've already been contacted. The AG's already been contacted about them. And if they get more complaints, then they'll definitely take action. So we do have state law protections, consumer protections against collection agencies, in addition to just the requirement to license. And so there's some different things that can be you could avail yourself of through the Attorney General's office. You can contact the AG's office through their website, and that's www.atg for Attorney General, atg.wa.gov. atg.wa.gov. Okay, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, 15 USC 1692. 15 USC 1692. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FDCPA, doesn't cover business debts, only consumer debts. So for you businesses out there, you small businesses that are in the same situation, you know, you're not going to have the same protections necessarily that consumers are going to have. So just be aware of that. I think you should still follow the same pattern, still take the same advice, but you might not have the same rights or recourse that consumers have. Also, I should remind everybody that no matter what you do in a collection case, in terms of defending it, doing your journal, taking notes, asking for, making a written demand for the all the information underlying the debt from the collection agency, and then working up your defenses to the particular debt. In addition to that, remember, you always have the bankruptcy option. I know that that doesn't seem like an option for a lot of people, and it, a lot of people in the community think that it's an embarrassment to file bankruptcy, and there's some moral reasons why you don't want to, but you know the law in the U.S. allows you to file. It allows a second chance. It allows you to file bankruptcy. If you get in a situation where you ran up the debt and you're not like intentionally taking out all this money to go buy trips to Paris or you buy your new Ferrari, and that happens, people do that and they use credit wrongfully. But you're doing the best that you can. You're raising your family. You're trying to make it in life, and you end up borrowing a lot on credit card debt, which is really common, and there's high interest rates, and you can't afford to pay it off, you are entitled to bankruptcy protection. Once you file for bankruptcy protection, the collection agency cannot contact you anymore. They can't sue you. They can't contact you. They're going to have to go through the bankruptcy court. So it's instant protection. Also, if you don't want the collection agency contacting you, you can tell them, don't contact me. You can write them a letter, and under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, they're required to stop contacting you if you say, don't contact me anymore. If you say, I have a lawyer, and here's his or her name and contact details, contact them. They're not allowed to contact you anymore either. They got to contact the lawyer. So that's those are two ways to ensure that you're not being contacted by the collection agency anymore. If you dispute the debt, if you write back and say, I dispute the veracity of this debt, then and send me all the details that you have underlying the debt, they're required to send you that within 30 days. Let's say that they do. Let's say that they send you this some contract or something that they say that you signed. You look at it, and you can develop whatever your defenses are at that point. Are my defenses that I didn't sign this contract? This is a different person. This is an unsigned contract. The wrong amounts here. The collection agency is charging me for interest and attorney fees. I don't owe that. I only owe the $1,000, not $5,000 that they're saying that I owed. Those are all legitimate defenses, absolutely legitimate defenses. What I don't want you to do when you write back the insurance company is I don't want you to write back a lot of detail in your letters that talk about your defenses or what you owed. I really don't want you admitting things in your letter, in your response back. You're trying to collect information. You can have some phone conversations about settling the debt. You can talk about an inability to pay. You can talk about if the case is that you might file bankruptcy. You can say, you know, this could be something. If you guys filed a lawsuit, I'd probably have to file bankruptcy. But instead of paying you $10,000, I can pay you $3,000, or I can pay you two payments of $1,500. You know, those are all legitimate ways to negotiate a debt if they're, you know, truthful. You have a responsibility to not misrepresent a bankruptcy filing, but otherwise you definitely you have some you have the opportunity to defend yourself and also to negotiate down the debt. The collection agency doesn't have a requirement that it must accept any particular amount, or that it can accept an amount less than the full amount. It can require the full amount be paid. You know, it's up to them. But if they think that you're a risk, potentially a financial risk, or they think it's going to be difficult to collect, they may well offer you a settlement, a discounted rate to pay off. It doesn't mean it's not going to go on your credit report, and that's problematic. I mean, that's going to be a problem. By the time it's at the collection agency, it's probably on your collection or your credit report already, and it's going to show up as in collections. And even if it's paid off, it's going to show up as charged off, and that's going to hit your credit score. At least you're going to take care of it. It's not going to result in a lawsuit because you're going to have paid it off the settled amount or full amount, whatever the case is. And it's not going to turn into the lawsuit. That's a positive, but you're still going to get that hit on your credit report and your credit score. Now, that reminds me of the credit repair agencies or these different agencies that are out there that talk about contact us. We'll negotiate your debt for you. Now, I always think, why? I don't want to tell you about particular cases that I've handled, but I just tell you, speaking generally, there have been a lot of people that have been taken advantage by these credit repair type agencies who pay them money, pay them some percentage of some subtle debt in order to settle the credit card debt that they have. And it still dings you on your credit report, on your credit score. It's still going to be there. So I personally have not seen the benefit of paying someone else, paying a third party to do the same thing that you have the right to do, which is negotiate down credit card debt. You can do that even before things are in collection. You can call a bank, the issuer of your credit card, and say, look, I'm not going to be able to pay this $6,000. Can I do payments? Can you extend out payments? Will you accept $2,000 instead of $6,000? And you might well get someone on the other line that is either has the authority to negotiate it or sympathetic and is willing to help, and you might be able to negotiate down that debt yourself. But why would you pay someone else to do that? Now, there might be some cases where you have to because you're not in a situation where you can speak well, or maybe you're not fluent, or I don't know all the reasons, but I guess there are some reasons why you need some help. But it's just from a financial perspective, it doesn't make sense to spend money on someone else when you can be using that money on yourself or to help settle some of these debts that you have out there. And know that they're not going to be able to keep this off your credit report. And if I'm wrong there and you're a credit repair agency out there, get a hold of me at www.knowyourrights.com. Email me, noah@knowyourrights.com. We'll have you on the show. We'll talk to you. You can tell us why and how the credit repair agency helps consumers, and it does something that they can't do for themselves, and you can help prevent them getting hit, getting dinged on their credit report and their credit score. If that's the case, and I accept that there's a possibility that there's some benefit out there, and if that's the case, then contact me and we'll have you on the show and we'll talk about it. All right, let's get back to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So there's a limitation on when they can call you. Collectors can't call you except for between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. That's still too early and too late for me. They can't call you at work, or if they do call you at work and you tell them, don't call me at work, they can't call you again. If they contact a third party, they're not supposed to say they're a collection agency. They're just supposed to say, hey, I'm calling about John Doe. I just want to get some information about John Doe. And they're not supposed to talk about the debt at all. And they're not supposed to call that person back. They're just supposed to get contact information about you. That's the third party communications. Let's see. There's a little bit more I want to talk about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. I also want to talk about lawsuits. We got about 15 more minutes left in the show, so we're going to cover some ground in 15 minutes, and I hope you can stick around, stay after the break, and we'll be right back on Know Your Rights. We're talking collections on Clay, 1180 AM.
On this historic day, Jack in the Box introduces a fast food first, the Food Truck Series. Asian fried chicken sandwich with crunchy Asian slaw and gochujang mayo, the pork belly BLT with tangy honey aioli, and the prime rib cheesesteak smothered in provolone cheese. And to that I say, hang on, let me turn the music down. I'll take one of each and an order of fries, please.
Sounds good, Jack. Pull up to the next window.
Thank you.
Try the new Food Truck Series at Jack in the Box today. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
I'm Noah Davis, and I've been practicing law in Washington since 2001, handling hundreds and hundreds of matters. And I would love to help you with your case. If you have been injured in an auto accident or have a business litigation matter, email me at noah@noah.legal or call me at 253-215-4313. That's noah@noah.legal or 253-215-4313.
This entire piece of music was played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. For more information on hands-only CPR and to make your own hand symphony track, visit handsonlycpr.org today. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah, Your Rights. I'm your host, Noah Davis. We're on Clay 1180 AM. We're talking collections law today. We're talking about the Fair Debt Collection Act. We're talking about, we're going to start talking about credit bureaus in a moment. And we're also going to talk about what happens if a lawsuit's filed against you. I want to wrap up this section on the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act real quick. And that's, we talked about sending a letter asking the collection agency to send you everything they have to prove the underlying debt. And you definitely want to do that. You want to put that in writing. You can send it by certified mail. The FTC actually recommends that you send it by certified mail. It'll help you prove that that you mailed something like that. You can also later send a letter saying, don't contact me again. And you can send that by certified mail again. If they violate these things under the Fair Debt Collection Act, you can end up having a counterclaim against them in a future lawsuit if they file against you. I mean, you don't have to wait for them to file against you. You could file your own, but just more typically, it's you're kind of in a defensive position. And then if a lawsuit's filed against you, then you go on the attack a little bit and you have those counterclaims. Remember, debt collectors, they cannot misrepresent facts to you. They can't misrepresent what they can do to you or what they are doing. They can't garnish your wages. They can't seize your property unless there's been a judgment. There's one exception, and that's federally insured student debt, student loans. Otherwise, they cannot garnish anything. They cannot seize property until there's been a judgment. It's not a crime for you to owe money. A long time ago, it was. You know, we had debtor's prison back in the colonial and pre-colonial days, but we got rid of that. It's not a crime to owe money. So they can't threaten that you're going to be arrested or anything of that nature. So don't buy that. In fact, if that happens to you, write it down. If you're threatened, intimidated, or harassed, or you feel that you are, make sure that you're writing it down, who you're talking to, what time it was, and as much detail as you can. So let's transfer from the over to the let's say you tell the debt collector, don't contact me ever again. And you send that in writing and you send it by certified mail and you've got your log and that closes the book with the debt collector. They can write back and say they received your letter. They can write back and say, we're going to file a lawsuit. Okay, fine. You're going to turn your attention to the credit bureaus as part of this process too. You're entitled, anytime you receive a derogatory letter from a credit offering, a card or a credit offer, you're turned down for credit, you're entitled to a free credit report every single time, not one a year, not one every 12 months. Every single time you're denied credit based on information from a credit bureau, you're entitled to a credit report. So you can get 10, 12 from the same credit bureau, Experian, in 1 year. If TransUnion, whoever it is, you can get those. Whoever your credit offer relied on to deny you credit, you can get your underlying credit report from that credit bureau. So you need to make sure that you do that. You write them a letter. The address should be provided to you. The credit offering company is required to send you a letter after the denial or at the time of the denial telling you what they base that denial on. And it'll provide one or the three credit bureaus, and you should write one to two to three, whoever's in there, whatever address is in there, go ahead and write a letter to that credit bureau. You could send it by certified mail. You can send it by registered mail, regular mail. Again, document it. You're going to be requesting full file disclosure. That's what it's called. Full file disclosure. You want everything that credit bureau has in their report about, in their file about you. You're entitled to that. You're entitled to that anytime that you're denied credit. You're entitled to that anytime your identity is stolen or there's fraud on your credit report. You're entitled to that if you're unemployed. You're entitled to that if you're on state or federal assistance. So make sure that you get those credit reports and that you're following them, you're going through them, you're looking at them in detail, and you're looking for information that's not correct. Sometimes the amounts are incorrect on there. Sometimes the lenders are incorrect on there. Sometimes the name they have for you is incorrect. Sometimes they have duplicate amounts. And I'll tell you, one thing that's really frustrating on these credit reports is seeing duplicate entries, seeing the same loan, the same credit card on your credit report two or three times, and most common twice, the same bill is dinging you twice. Maybe it's a student loan that's broken up into this was first semester, this is the second semester. It should only be dinging you once, not twice. So you need to dispute that. You need to make sure that you go through everything, and anything that's not correct, you dispute. The credit bureau is going to want to have you do this online. It's easier for them to track the process, deal with the process online, easier for them to generate reports that way to report to the regulators too. It's also going to get you a quicker response time. Not only do you not have the mail system in effect, but you don't have someone physically having to open the mail and go through your letter to figure out what you're talking about. And maybe you've written on your credit report that they sent you in the mail, and you're circling things and crossing things out. I mean, that's it can be a little bit of a disaster. So going online is the best, quickest way to dispute your report. But you got to write in, tell the agency that you're disputing, that you want to get a copy of your report because you've been denied credit. And then once you get that report, go online. They'll give you a number. You don't need to sign up for freekarma.com or whatever that stuff is. You don't need any of that. Sometimes, you know, you listen to some of the shows like Clark on here on Clay 1180 AM and Clark Howard, and he espouses some of those things like Credit Karma. And, you know, maybe there's a real positive having some of the credit watching agencies and paying a fee and getting them to watch your credit, but you don't have to. And the point is, I just want you to get on there and dispute the items on your credit report that aren't correct. The credit agency then has 30 days to verify or remove it. 30 days. And you're documenting this, that you disputed on this day, you print it out. I had a credit report dispute that I did on Experian, and then after I disputed it, they didn't answer in 30 days. I still haven't gotten a response from them, and you betcha I'm going to follow up, and I believe that they've violated federal law on not responding to my report within 30 days. I mean, I think we're at 120 days now. They've just kind of forgotten about it. So you're going to want to dispute, and you're going to want to keep track of your records and make sure you print off as much information as you can and keep a file. On your credit report, if the derogatory action is 7 years or older, ask that it be removed. Bankruptcies are 10 years. As I said, you know, if the amount's incorrect, dispute it. If the debt's not yours, dispute it. If there's a sign of fraud or a sign that your identity's been stolen, you need to call them and report that. You know, it's going to be problematic, not only from your credit report. You want to make sure that you don't have someone's not out there dinging you, getting more credit open up in your name, because that's going to be a series of headaches for you and in so many ways. But once you do report, once you do the identity theft report to the credit bureau, know that it's going to be a headache for you too, because your credit's going to be frozen more or less, and it's going to be hard for you to get credit, new credit opened up because of that. But it's something that you have to do. So make sure you go through your credit report and go through it in detail. The Fair Credit Report Act, the FCRA, is what governs the credit bureaus, and you can find out more information about that through the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov, www.ftc.gov. If you have a complaint, you can also call them at 1-877-382-4357. All right. Last thing we're going to talk about. Oh, also, you can opt out of pre-screen reports if you want to. A lot of people hate getting those. I've been hating getting these lending tree type things or whatever, all these unsolicited ads about, hey, borrow all this money. You've been pre-approved, pre-selected. You can opt out by calling 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. That's 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. And then you won't get those pre-screened offers anymore. Okay, so let's say that the collection turns into a lawsuit and you haven't filed bankruptcy. You're not going to file bankruptcy, so you need to try to defend this suit or negotiate it. You still negotiate it. In Washington, and this is going to be the case in a lot of states, in Washington, you have 20 days to answer a complaint, a summons complaint that's been served on you. It has to be personally served on you. There are very limited exceptions about getting something mailed to you. It needs to be served on you or served on someone that lives at your home. Sometimes those lawsuits aren't filed. They're just served on you, and that can be really tricky. Collection agencies are really known for this, where they serve a lawsuit on you, but they don't file it. You try to file an answer in the court that's indicated on the top of the lawsuit, and you go down to the courthouse, and it turns out that there's no active case against you, and you're like, what the heck? And so you think, well, this was just a ruse, and six months later, 8 months later, a year later, your wages are garnished because what happens is the collection agency serves you, they wait 20 days, then they file it on the 21st day and move for default against you for failing to file an answer. If you get served a summons or complaint, I would encourage you to consult a lawyer, number one. If you cannot do that, cannot afford someone, or there's not time, and you're going to handle this yourself, you need to write back whoever it is that served that lawsuit on you, and not the messenger service, but the name of the lawyer that's going to be in the bottom right corner of most of those summons or complaints, and contact them and say, I demand that you file this lawsuit, because that's what Washington law requires. It sounds silly, but you have to write a letter back saying, I demand that you file this lawsuit, and I dispute this debt. You can add that in there. But you need to file an answer if the case has been filed in court, or you make that demand if the case hasn't been filed. Once you file an answer, you're in that case. You need to file a notice of appearance. You file an answer. You can start to dispute the veracity of that debt. Maybe you do have some defenses. Maybe it was a charge on your credit card that you didn't agree to, and the credit card company refused to remove it, which is another show almost all by itself, the inability or the unwillingness for the major credit card companies to take off debt with certain agencies, which is really frustrating. And I could tell you a personal story about that on one of the future shows too. But you want to make sure that you take these lawsuits seriously, because they will follow through on them. They will get a motion for default, or they will get a motion for summary judgment against you, and you'll end up being left holding the bag. So take it seriously. Take these lawsuits seriously. Contact a lawyer. If you represent yourself, you can go to, there's a website, WashingtonLawHelp.org, I believe, is the site that can provide you some information about the type of answer, what your answer would look like, and maybe some of the defenses that you would have, such as statute of limitations, because you want to plead that this is an old debt. You'd also want to say that service wasn't proper, that you never received a copy of the lawsuit correctly or personally. So there's some other defenses that you could have. But old debt is probably the biggest one. You know, there's a lot that we covered today. There's a lot that we didn't get to. We're going to have to do another show on this, I'm sure. There's other subjects out there that you, the listener, want to hear, that you've contacted me about, from divorce cases, bankruptcy cases, to employment law discrimination. We're going to have the Attorney General's office on here for consumer protection one day, DUIs. If there's something that you want to hear about, contact me at noah@noahyourrights.com, or visit the website www.noahyourrights.com. I want to hear from you. Let me know how I can help you, what information you need. This is the show, Know Your Rights. I'm your host, Noah Davis, and I'm here to make sure that I can help you understand your basic legal rights and resources available to you only on Clay 1180 AM. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, same time.